views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Welcome to Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasek. Marge was searching for the purpose of her life and the truth that would tie everything together to make sense of what was taught and what was happening on our planet, the fire that was creating all the smoke. Through many experiences, she was finally led to the Knowledge Book that provided all the answers. Marge is now talking about this gift to humanity on Knowledge Book Radio, so all can be united in peace, love, and harmony. This live call-in show at 1-800-930-2819 is amazing. So get ready to hear about the Knowledge Book. Here's your host, Marge Potasek.
Hello, everyone. I'm Marge Potasek, and you are listening to Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasek on Transformation Talk Radio. For the next hour, we will continue to cover some topics from the Knowledge Book. And this week, we're continuing our Omega Series talks with the topic of perception, what lies beyond the five senses. But before we go on, let me give you some contact information. In order to know more about the Knowledge Book, you could always look at our website, which is www.usa.theknowledgebook.net. The Turkish World Brotherhood Union website is www.dkbdavidkiteboy-mevlana.org.tr. My own telephone number, cell phone number, is 973-787-7035. And of course, the email is mmjp99marymaryjohnpeter99@gmail.com. Please do email or text me with any questions that arise from today's topics or from previous shows. And of course, we are always looking for and are welcoming any topics or questions so that we can plan our future shows. Okay, so without any further ado, we will talk about perception, what lies beyond the brain's sensory interface. So we've covered previously our brain's sensory interface as to how our brain actually filters whatever sensory information is coming in through its own set of parameters and conditionings. And we perceive that which the brain thinks we should perceive and know, and not what is actually out there. So now we're going to be exploring something that is beyond those five senses and beyond the brain interface. So as we usually make our way in the world from day to day, we are comfortable with knowing that we see everything there is to see and that we know most of what we need to know. Well, we kind of have the feeling that we can find and connect with most of the information we need to navigate in the world. We see and we hear and we feel and we taste and touch. And when we need to, we can communicate our ideas and get responses in return. We, however, as we have learned previously, mostly are not aware that we are locked in our brain's sensory interface. And the sensory data we do receive, mostly through our eyes, is based on a tiny fraction of the full spectrum of electromagnetic waves. We are literally imprisoned in our body's very limited range of receiving and processing the electromagnetic spectrum within which we are swimming. In fact, out of the entire range of electromagnetic waves that are out there, we can only experience about 0.0035% or 1/35/10,000th of the electromagnetic spectrum. And this electromagnetic spectrum that surrounds us and that we're completely unaware of is filled, completely filled with both high energy and high frequency and low energy and low frequency electromagnetic waves. And those waves carry our conversations, TV shows, radio shows, local and international telephone conversations, local and international text messages, air traffic control signals, police communications, pilot communications, videos, satellite communications, etc. So we are missing most of what's out there. We are missing 99.9965% of what is out there, okay? Because our senses are limited to a very small slice of the entire electromagnetic spectrum. So what is this electromagnetic spectrum? What is it composed of? So the electromagnetic EM spectrum is the range of all types of electromagnetic radiation. And radiation itself is energy that travels at the speed of light. And as it goes and travels, it spreads out. And the visible light that comes from a lamp in our home or from our sun, from the sunlight, and the radio waves that come from radio station like this one are different kinds of the same and different range of the electromagnetic radiation that's out there. Besides the two that I had just mentioned, there are other types of electromagnetic radiation that make up the entirety of the electromagnetic spectrum. And these are microwaves, infrared light, ultraviolet light, X-rays, and gamma rays. So comes the question, if we can't see it, can't touch it, cannot taste it or smell it or hear it, how did we in fact discover it? How is it possible to figure out that there's something there that's invisible to us? So how does it happen? It's done by serendipity, a fortunate accident. Now, we've been around as humans for a long, long time, but it was only at the turn of the 19th century, in the year 1800, that Sir William Herschel was exploring the question of how much heat was contained by different colors of visible light. So being a scientist, he devised an experiment, and he figured that each one of the different colors of light that makes up the full white light, meaning the rainbow, when light is put into and passed through a prism, it gets split into its component frequencies of light. And so what he did was, okay, fine, in each one of those light frequencies that is produced, he wanted to measure the temperature of them. He wanted to know what difference in temperature each one of those lights, colored lights, produced. So he did what normal scientists do, is that they put in a control, meaning something that's on the side that is not affected and can make sure that it's like a control trial, meaning this is someone that is not part of the experiment, something that is not part of the experiment, and nothing is expected to be changed. So what he did was he put thermometers at every place where the light would hit. The violet, the blue, the green, the yellow, the red. And he put the thermometer, the control, was past the red color. And what he found is that the thermometer that was not supposed to change, the control thermometer, actually showed heat. And he found the infrared light in this way, because infrared we experience as heat. So that's how the infrared portion of the spectrum was discovered. Now, other scientists, once they learned this is what he's done, a year later, someone had the idea, well, if there's something beyond red, maybe there's something beyond the violet. And Johann Wilhelm Ritter, hearing about the experiment that was done by Herschel, he thought that, you know, there may be something beyond the purple, and he discovered ultraviolet light. But in this case, he did not use a thermometer, since a thermometer did not produce any changes in temperature when, you know, the ultra and the upper end of the visible light spectrum. He instead used silver chloride. Now, silver chloride is a chemical that is used in photography. And this is a chemical that basically, when you put it on paper, it changes when hit by light, and it changes to dark. So this is how the first photography was developed, because silver chloride then changed to dark, so we have black and white pictures. So this is how the other end, meaning the ultraviolet light, was discovered, because when ultraviolet light hit the silver chloride, it got affected because it is light that hit it, and it changed color. Now, all these experiments about looking and seeing what's going on with the electromagnetic spectrum, there was a gentleman named James Clerk Maxwell. He did a lot of work, and he actually turned the scientific world upside down with his theories, because he is the one who put together the theory of light propagation. He is a Scottish physicist, and he is the one who contributed a lot to the field of physics during the 1860s, 19th century, because he produced theorems, he produced formulas on magnetism, on optics, on electricity, and this is where we got more and more discoveries of the electromagnetic spectrum, because he predicted there should be waves longer than ultra infrared and on the other end as well, okay? So we were more successful in finding out the lower energy end of the electromagnetic spectrum. However, it took us a bit longer for figure out and know about the shorter wavelength electromagnetic spectrum. And then another fortunate accident. And this is how the X-rays were discovered. So this was discovered, the X-rays were discovered and documented in 1895. This is the end of the 19th century, by Wilhelm Conrad Röntgen. And he was a German scientist. And again, it was an accident that happened. He was actually doing work and experimenting with vacuum tubes. And again, he left something on the table exposed to the radiation that was produced by the vacuum tubes. And he discovered there was an image that he had not expected of whatever object was on top of that piece of paper, on top of that table. So what he did to test this, he took his wife's hand and exposed it to the same area that produced the earlier photograph. And we have a picture still of his wife's hand and the wedding ring that she was wearing. Now, of course, when everybody realized what had happened and they could see inside the body, because the bones were actually perfectly delineated, everyone wanted to have an X-ray of their body, of their finger, of whatever. And he discovered a new kind of radiation. He didn't know what to call it, so he called it X for the unknown, the universal unknown variable. And the name stuck. Actually, someone else wanted him to call them Röntgen rays after him, but it was the X-ray that stuck as the name for these, for this new higher energy form of radiation. But it wasn't until the turn of the 20th century that it was actually proven that these X-rays were actually another form of light. And after that, it was gamma rays that were observed in 1900, at the turn of the 20th century now. And this was done by Paul Villard, a French scientist, when he started investigating the radiation that was coming in from radium. And of course, we know that radium is a radioactive material. And a few years after that, Ernest Rutherford came in and proposed the name gamma rays for these rays that Paul Villard had discovered. And that name stuck as well. So now we have X-rays and gamma rays, which are on the high end of the electromagnetic spectrum. Now, it was only in 1914, the beginning part of the 20th century, when Rutherford actually observed that they could be reflected off the layers of a crystal. And at that point, now it was actually certain that these X-rays and gamma rays were like light and were part of the electromagnetic spectrum, or a different wavelength of light. So as usual, history happens and new discoveries happen because of some fortunate accident that happens. And even though we may think that accidents are, oh my goodness, a bad thing happened, it usually turns out that it's a good thing. However, depending on how you look at it and whether you actually look at it and perceive it as a good thing, then you can see that actually good stuff comes out. So when we're talking about the complete electromagnetic spectrum, we didn't immediately discover it to start with. We didn't discover that until the 19th century, the turn of the 19th century. So we've been around for a long time, but we didn't discover it till that. And then we did eventually, once we discovered, put it to use. We harnessed this energy, this frequency that is around us all the time. And we are harnessing the 99.9965% of what we can't perceive through the senses, and that those waves work for us in communications, in entertainment, and as well as medical detection and healing systems. Now, to give you an idea as to what range of radio waves and electromagnetic waves are used for what, the longest radio waves or the longest waves are the radio waves, and they're the ones that we use for radio, for AM radio. A little bit higher waves are used for FM radio. And now, again, longer waves are also used for amateur radio. And then come the microwaves. The microwaves are used for aircraft communication, for the microwave ovens. Then when we have infrared, infrared is being used for TV remote controls and also for night vision, night goggles. And not only that, but for also for medical detection of cancer, because cancer has higher blood flow to it, and it has a higher temperature, which means when you take a picture of the heat that's produced by your body, then you can locate the position of cancer that may not be detected in any other way. Then comes the little bit of a visible spectrum of light that we do see through our eyes. Then comes ultraviolet rays. And of course, we use this as sun tanning. And also in medicine, it's used to sterilize things. X-rays, of course, are used in common form of airport security. X-rays for broken bones. X-rays to detect internal structures of the body. And of course, on the upper end of the scale, we have the gamma rays. And this is where they are being used for PET scans. Now, a PET scan, if I could go briefly, PET scans are specific medical tests that use positron emission tomography, computed tomography. So it's a mapping of the body or the mapping of the brain, and it is done by finding out where the gamma radiation goes. So, and when the gamma markers are put in our bloodstream, then the computer tomography, the emission tomography, and the computer system that's associated with this machine is then able to put a picture together as to where the blood was going, how it got there, and then the medical establishment can then figure out what is going on in the brain in other physical systems. So we're putting everything to use, even though we don't know how it gets there, how it got created, how it really works, we are putting it to use. Okay. And then we have something called the radio, and this is how we're actually producing and airing it on the air for you to be able to listen and be able to get other information also from other radio stations. So how does the radio work? The radio, actually the physical radio box, actually captures whatever radio waves are coming in from radio stations, and it brings whatever it is that is on that radio wave, whether it's music or talk shows, and it gives them to anybody who can tune in to that particular frequency. So when you're tuning in on the radio to a particular station, you're actually tuning into a particular frequency that that radio station is broadcasting on and is sending information through that specific frequency length. Now, microwave radiation, of course, cooks our popcorn and our food in just a few minutes, but it's also used by astronomers to learn about the structure of nearby galaxies. And actually, the radio waves also are being emitted by stars and gases in space. So depending on the length of the light that's emitted by the galaxies and by the stars in space, we can know what gases are there, what they're composed of, and what their energy levels are. Okay, and then we have the infrared. Of course, that's night vision goggles. And of course, infrared in space is also a detection method to find dust between stars, because dust have a temperature, and therefore we can detect what those are. Now, we were covering just the lower end of the spectrum as to how that is being used. Now we can go into the higher end of the spectrum. Now, one of the higher end spectrum is something called a laser. Now, the laser actually is an acronym that stands for light amplification by stimulated emission of radiation. So an atom or collection of atoms are irradiated with a specific energy, and that excites the atom to a specific energy state, and it produces light. It emits light and that light is produced coherently, which means every wavelength coming out of that atom is at the same length, is the same amplitude, and has the same energy. And this kind of laser light was first built in 1960, and now we're using it as optical disk drives, as laser printers, barcode scanners, DNA sequencing instruments, and fiber optic and free space optical communication. They also they're using lasers in surgery and skin treatments. Laser treatments and laser surgery is done on brains and other places that need pinpoint specification as to where that location is without impinging or hurting any of the surrounding tissue. And of course, we have, as far as entertainment is concerned, the lighting displays and concerts or outside as displays. Now, X-rays and gamma rays and beta particles are used in medicine to treat internal organs. And of course, X-rays, we know we've had X-rays before, both for our teeth and the rest of our body. They're diagnostic tools, and gamma rays are used to kill cancer cells, to sterilize medical equipment, and as radioactive tracers. Ultraviolet radiation is used to treat skin conditions, and it's also used to sterilize equipment because it can kill harmful bacteria. However, you need to be careful as to how much you expose yourself to ultraviolet radiation, because it has been seen that too much produces skin cancer. This, of course, needs to be balanced out by the fact that we need sunlight on our skin in order to produce vitamin D that helps our immune system and with everything else in our body. Now, the infrared radiation is, of course, we perceive it as heat. It is used to treat strained muscles and tissues. It's also used to diagnose tumors because, as I said previously, tumors emit more infrared radiation, more heat than healthy tissue. And when you get a thermogram of your body, then any kind of diseased tissue is seen because it has more heat. Now, the radio itself developed because the telegraph and telephone were developed also. Now, all three technologies, radio, telegraph, and telephone, are related. And actually, radio technology arose because the need was felt for having the ability to telegraph someone without having a direct line-to-line, physical line connection to that individual. I mean, we had telegraph connections. We had telegraphs being sent all over the world. However, you needed to have a direct electrical wire link between the transmitter and the receiver of that telegraph. So what they wanted to do was to produce a method that sends and receives without that wire connection, and sends and receives signals to more than one individual, more than one receiving telegraph location. Now, the term radio itself can refer to either the electronic appliance that we are listening with or the content playing from it. In any case, it all started with the discovery that radio waves or electromagnetic waves have the capacity to transmit music, speech, pictures, and other data invisibly through the air. There are many other devices that use electromagnetic waves besides the radio, and that includes microwaves, cordless phones, remote control toys, television broadcasts, and of course, many more. Now, when we are looking at the diagram of the electromagnetic spectrum, one thing you will notice is that the radio waves have the longest wavelengths of the spectrum. Some of the radio waves, the longest ones could be as long as, let's say, a mountain. Some of them could be as long as a football stadium. And the AM radios are the ones that are like the length of a football field, while FM radio stations are on the shorter end of that length, and they're about maybe 3 yards or so. So that's how we're able to capture and encode into those radio waves the information that we're sending on those radio waves. So how does this work, and how does music and voice or anything transmitted through space? So radio waves are, of course, a light, and they, of course, have electric and magnetic fields that are continuously recreating one another as they travel through space at the speed of light. An electric field exerts force on an electric charge, and a magnetic field exerts force on a magnetic pole. Both electric and magnetic fields contain energy. In a radio wave, this energy moves along with the fields. Your transmitter uses electric power to create the radio wave, and the radio wave delivers that power to the radios via an antenna. Then the radios themselves are then tuned to a specific frequency. They are able to take in those signals, those radio waves, and they turn it into electrical signals, and those electrical signals are then turned into sound through another kind of a program that turns those electrical signals into sound. So certain things need to happen if you want to hear a radio or if a broadcast is to be made. Number one, the radio needs to encode the information onto a radio wave. And this is known as modulation. There's two kinds of modulation. There's AM and there's FM. AM is amplitude modulation and FM is frequency modulation. AM means you're changing the height of the wave on which, so the height of the wave, the difference, so if a particular frequency has an amplitude of a foot, then if you amplify that wave, the data that you encode on it, maybe that amplitude now will be a foot and a half. And that half a foot is the amplitude modulation, and then that height difference is then reinterpreted by the receiver and is turned into an electrical signal, which then tells the decoder on the other side, what sound to produce. And then that radio, that modulation, that wave needs to be broadcast. And this is broadcast onto a certain frequency. And it's done through a transmitter. And the radio antenna itself picks up the broadcast based on the frequency to which your radio dial is tuned. So when you change radio stations, you're actually changing the frequency to which your radio is able then to listen. The radio then decodes the information from the radio wave and plays that information through the speakers as sound. When you change the dial, you're actually changing the frequency and you're capturing the content of that radio wave at that frequency. Okay, so that's the trick of the radio. It's basically a mechanism by which a radio wave is changed to hold the information, the data that we want it to hold. It is transmitted through space, and then it is received by an antenna on the other side, the receiving antenna, and is decoded again into that radio wave, is then changed into radio electrical signals, and then it gets deciphered through the radio itself into the voice and into sound or whatever it is. So there are two kinds of antennas. There's the one that catches the radio waves. It's like holding out your hand and catching words, pictures, and information that's passing by. And this is a metal rod or dish that catches radio waves and turns them into electrical signals and feeding it into something like a radio or television or telephone system. And these are the receivers. A transmitter actually is the opposite of the antenna that does the catching. It actually, the transmitter turns an electrical signal into radio waves, so they can travel sometimes thousands of kilometers around the Earth or into space and back. Antennas and transmitters are the key to virtually all forms of modern telecommunication. That's the truth for our cell phones. That's the same thing for our telephones. That's the same thing for radios, for television, for cable, for everything. You need to have a transmitter. You need to have a receiver. Now, once you have a receiver and a transmitter, sometimes if you're driving in a car and you set your car to a radio station on a particular frequency, however, you go over a mountain and all of a sudden you get static, you lose the signal, the voice gets muted or it disappears completely, or you get interference. You get another radio station coming in because maybe there's a more local, stronger radio signal coming in on the same wave, but transmitting from a different station. And since your radio is tuned to that frequency, it picks up that sound and it picks up that data. So in order for a message, no matter how it is sent, to be clearly received and understood, both the messenger and the recipient need to have at least one thing in common, whether that is language, format, platform, open pathway, and similar background. So if I send a text message to someone, actually this happened once, there are certain people who have certain preference on how they want their messages to come. Some people look at emails first. Some people look at and rarely look at text messages. Other people look at text messages and rarely look at emails. So there was a situation where someone forgot their bag, and we wanted to communicate to that individual the fact that the bag was found and where she could pick it up. The thing was that the person who found the bag and had the bag and wanted to give it back to the individual and let her know, she usually uses text. Actually, she usually uses emails. However, the person to whom this communication was sent usually looked only at text and not emails. So despite the fact that one person was trying to inform another person the fact that the bag, her pocketbook, was found, they could not connect with each other because one was looking at emails while the other one was looking at texts. So there's got to be some kind of a common agreement as to how information is transmitted, how it is decoded, and what it is decoded into. So if I have a code of 123 and that 123 stands for blue, however, the person on the other side is looking for information 321, then that communication will not be successful. So how many times have we heard someone asking, or we think we heard someone asking about something that they weren't really asking? There's like this little cartoon that says, "Hi, how are you? How is your sister?" "Oh, she's fine. She just had a baby." So their communication was clean and the receiver got the message that the sender was giving. However, in another case, there was some noise in the background, so when the person asked, "Hi, how are you? How is your sister?" the person didn't quite understand what the question was and replied, "Oh, I'm fine. I went kayaking today." So there is a mixed signal going on here, okay? And we'll not be able to communicate clearly and the message that we want to get across. So what also happens, so you know about the five senses, what also happens beyond the five senses? And this communication is called as extrasensory communication, and this is telepathy, clairvoyance, and precognition. This is a kind of communication that evolves, that involves awareness of information about events external to the self, not gained through the senses and not deductible from previous experience. It's also called ESP. So this is ESP, and it's also called the sixth sense. And it is information that an individual receives that comes from beyond the ordinary five senses. This is beyond sight, hearing, smell, taste, and touch. And this ESP is a way of us being able to get signals from something outside of ourselves, not connected to ourselves and not connected to our past or future, but we're able to get information about the present, past, and future. How many times have we, when our telephone rings, oh, that's Aunt Jane, oh, that's Mary coming, oh, my sister's finally calling me. We kind of know that that person is calling us when that phone rings or before that phone rings. Or in some instances, we may think about that person or be thinking about that person throughout the day. And the next thing we know, that person calls us and or shows up and visits us. So we have the ability to not use our senses. Somehow our brain, our bodies have the ability to pick up information that is not directly through the senses, and we get that information from our brains and from our awareness. Now, the brain itself has been studied, and the brain communication also has been studied. So the brain itself also emits waves. So when a person focuses their attention on or remembers something, there's a particular activity that goes on in the brain, and there's a simultaneous firing of thousands of neurons at the same frequency, and it generates a wave. But this kind of a wave is closer to 10 or 10 or 100 cycles per second. So we have beta waves with their particular length of wave. And this is waves are at 13 to 38 hertz. And this is what happens. This is the kind of wave that we emit when we are actively thinking, problem solving, etc. And when we're emitting these kinds of waves, people around us could actually pick up our thoughts if they are tuned in to that particular beta wave frequency. There are also delta waves that our brain emits, and these are below 4 hertz. And this is the kind of waves that occur while we are asleep. There are also theta waves, and these are 4 to 7 hertz. And these are emitted when we are sleeping deeply and deeply relaxed. And this is also characteristic of hypnotic relaxation and visualization. Alpha waves, which are 8 to 13 hertz, that happens when we are relaxed and calm. And we actually emit gamma brain waves. These are 39 to 100 hertz. And this is involved in higher mental activity and consolidation of information. An interesting study has shown that Tibetan meditators, those practitioners who practice Tibetan meditation, produce higher levels of gamma than non-meditators, both before and during meditation. So this is quite interesting. So our brain waves have a particular frequency, and each one of them are produced by a particular state of our brain, and it goes from beta, alpha, delta, theta, and gamma. Okay. Now, what does this have to do with the knowledge book, and what does the knowledge book say about all this? And what the knowledge book says is that the brain is like a telex system. It's like our telex. It's like a telex machine. It is both a receiving and a sending instrument. Okay. And the knowledge book, through its light photon cyclone technique and based on the theory of perception, it strengthens our six senses. It strengthens our intuition. And enables the human to intercept higher and higher energy and frequency messages and thereby we can access more knowledge. So our telex system, depending to what frequency it's tuned, is able to receive messages that are carried by certain wavelengths, captures it, transforms it into ideas, and is then able to also transmit ideas based on a certain frequency so that other individuals can also receive those ideas from us telepathically or thought-to-thought connection. So the celestial authorities who are actually sending this information to us send us energy pores or radio waves that our brains then decode and interpret as ideas that can be written, spoken, depicted through the arts, or become the idea that leads to a discovery or an invention. And what tunes this telex system in our brains? It is our evolution. And is our evolution that is the tuner, is the dial to which our telex system, our radio that's in the brain that allows us to intercept higher and higher energy waves that provide more and more knowledge and more energy to us and enhances us in our evolution. And it is our evolution level that dictates to what level of wave we can dial to attain a higher level of influences and evolution plans. The higher the frequency, the higher the frequency, the higher level knowledge we can receive and the higher energy we can get, and we're able to get a different influence. We can get different evolution plans by which we can grow up the evolution ladder. And step by evolutionary step, we get closer and closer to becoming a genuine human that is a golden receiver and transmitter. And we know that gold is a perfect conductor. Whatever signals, whatever electrical input it receives, it transmits those signals the way that they come in. Okay, so this kind of finishes up that topic, and maybe it's now time for a good break. And you have been listening to the Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasik. And of course, we need to remind everyone that our website is www.usa.theknowledgebook.net. And the telephone numbers for question is 973-787-7035. And when we come back, we'll continue with perception, what lies beyond the five senses. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To find answers to life's questions, you need to look within yourself. Dr. Glenna Rice brings your questionable conversations on Transformation Talk Radio each month. Tune in each month for insight into how you can live up to your full potential. Dr. Glenna is a physical therapist, certified Access Consciousness, and Access Body Class Facilitator. How does it get any better than this? For more information on Dr. Glenna Rice and her work, visit glennarice.com.
Gifted intuitive healer and spiritual teacher Sarah Luce brings her unique style to the hit show Small Steps, Big Breakthrough Radio on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each month as Sarah turns reality on end and shows us how to experience expansive results with simple yet powerful steps. Expect an enlightening bend on what you currently believe is possible. For show details and upcoming topics, visit SarahLuce.com. That's SarahLuce.com.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Our angels and animals are always working for and around us. Darcy Pariso knew from an early age she felt this incredible presence that was confirmed for her in a Reiki Level 1 course. From then on, she has honed her skills and dedicated her talents to providing answers, inspiration, and tools for people to move past limiting blocks and past traumas to truly live a life of happiness. For more information about working with Darcy, visit darcypariso.com.
Take your own journey with the angels with Claire Candy Hoff's Heaven Sent Guided Angel Meditation CD. letting go of concerns and living in the now. This beautiful CD walks listeners through practical exercises to help free them from the burdens, worries, and concerns of daily life.
Walking a quarter of the way across the bridge, you see a bright emerald green light and sense a loving presence. This is Archangel Raphael's green healing energies, nourishing and revitalizing you. Take a moment now to bathe in this green healing light.
Giving you much more than just relaxation and stress release, this wonderfully narrated CD provides vivid visualization, soothing and inspiring music, and an angel's choir that will bring you peace, clarity, and a newfound awareness. Visit angelhealinghouse.com today.
And we're back on Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasek on Transformation Talk Radio. Of course, our website is www.usa.theknowledgebook.net. Our telephone number is 973-787-7035. And of course, email address is mmjp99marymaryjohnpeter99@gmail.com. We will continue our topic for today, which is perception, what lies beyond the five senses. And if you have any questions when you're reading the knowledge book or actually when you're listening to these broadcasts, please do send us those questions. We'll be happy to address them. And what have we been covering today? As a brief review, we've been covering what we can't see, can't touch, can't feel, can't taste, cannot. So it took humanity a very long time. We went through so many periods before this that we had, you know, discoveries. We had discovered the printing press. We discovered printing. We discovered the body. We discovered the circulatory system in the body. We discovered so many things, and so many scientific discoveries were made. And so many golden ages of science and of learning have taken place on our planet. But it took us until we got to the turn of the 19th century, until the 1800s, that we actually discovered something that is always around us and is always going through us. So the very high energy like X-rays and gamma rays and cosmic rays actually go through our bodies. We don't feel it. We sometimes may have an effect from it, but we literally do not sense it at all. We briefly touched on the fact that we have senses. Our body has a sense called the sixth sense, which is our intuition, starts with our intuition. And this is a method, this is a way of our bodies, of our brains, actually picking up information from brain, from waves, from radiation that's out there without us consciously or awarely picking this information up. We don't know where it's coming from. However, we do know. Let's say we very quickly find out when we walk into a room that there must have been a fight there because the energy is horrible in that room and you want to run. Or you go into an area or you're walking down the street at night and where before everything was fine, you were fine walking on that street. However, next thing you know, something tingles at the back of your neck. You get this feeling that you're not safe, that someone or something is lurking out there without a good intention towards you. So we pick this up. So the first steps of us being able to pick up information from outside our senses is on the level of protection of ourselves. And it is this intuition that helped us to protect ourselves and allowed us to exist, allowed us to continue with our life. It is that intuition, it is that instinct that allows us to be able to feed ourselves, to maintain our physical strength, to maintain our mental ability, and to maintain our ability to continue in this world and function in this world. So that's our first level of being able to perceive something outside of our senses. And the knowledge book, through using this intuition, this base level that we have, builds on that. Meaning our telex that we have in our brain is an innate capacity and capability our brain has. It is an ability to be able to pick up radio waves, to pick up frequencies that then are transposed and changed into ideas. So it is that telex system, our brain system, that allows us to perceive things outside of the senses. And over time, that telex system is calibrated. It is adjusted so that we are more and more able to pick up higher and higher frequency and higher information from the radio waves around us that are being sent to us. And we are able to bring in knowledge. We are bringing in information from the higher dimensions and from other dimensions. So we have many people who have that sixth sense being very developed. Those are the mediums. Those are the people who are able to connect with other dimensions, who are able to bring in data from those dimensions because their telex system is tuned to the frequency where those dimensions have that data that they're looking for. So when you have people looking at the Akashic records, when you have people looking at information about past lives or information about our future, they are bringing in knowledge from a specific dimension that contains that knowledge because their telex system, their brain is attuned to that particular frequency that holds that information. Any information that we have access to through our intuition, through our sixth sense, is contained in other dimensions. And gradually over time, our telex system is more and more fine-tuned and is able to take in clearer and clearer information. So even though a sender may be sending us information called red, white, and blue, however, we may be able to perceive the red part. We may not be able to receive the white or the blue. So we'll only get the message of red. We will not be able to get the message of red, white, and blue. However, those individuals who have the capacity, who have attuned their telex system to white and blue, will get the white and blue but won't get the red. So we'll have conflicts of information, even though the information coming in is the same. We will not understand it in the same way because we are not tuned into exactly the same frequency that everyone else is. But eventually, over time, as we're studying with the knowledge book, as our telex systems are attuned to higher and higher frequencies through our evolution, and it's the evolution that's critical, the higher the evolution, the higher we are on the altruism scale, meaning self-preservation against helping others. The more we are away from ego, the closer we are for caring everyone else and serving everyone else, that's when our evolution is higher and therefore we are able to have a cleaner and clearer image and messages coming to us that guide us and allow us to progress and both spiritually and on the world level. And step by step through the studies of the knowledge book, we've covered the knowledge book reading program, writing program, counsel program, 18 program, and now we have the call to friendship program. Each one of these studies are specifically designed to allow us to slowly practice that altruism, to practice and allow us to evolve at a faster and faster rate to be able to get more and more information and knowledge and therefore be able to understand each other better because we will all understand the same thing and be able to pick up the same information. What does our disagreement base on? It is our inability to understand everything that exists. I may have an idea that red, white, and blue exist. Somebody else may have the idea that green and yellow exist, and they don't see the red, white, and blue, and therefore we will not be able to agree on anything. However, it's when all of us are able to see red, white, blue, green, and white, or green and yellow, that we'll be able to understand all those colors, and we'll be able to communicate with each other because we have the same understanding of what things are and how things are and how they work. So slowly, over time, the knowledge book, through a gradual process, through reading, through writing, through the programs, enables us to go up the evolutionary ladder to be able to get clearer and clearer information, both receiving and sending, So we need both to be able to receive clearly and send messages also clearly, because we are able to send telepathic messages to each other, or thought messages to each other. So we don't have the possibility of misunderstanding each other, because we are understanding the same thing, and our understanding is the same, and our wavelength is the same. It is not that we're going to be, you know, carbon copies of each other. We are all specific individuals, have been created as specific individuals, each with our own particular talent, each with our particular gift, and that particular gift will be cherished and accepted and loved, because it is absolutely necessary. You need every instrument in an orchestra in order to play a symphony. You need every letter of the alphabet to produce a poem. So at this point, it is time to finish. So please do remember, if you're in New York area, do stop by at our focal point. It's at 7 p.m. every Saturday. Our information is on the website. Again, if you would like to have the 3 chapters from the Knowledge Book, please do email us your postal mailing address. It is only available through printed media, not electronic media. So stay well, and please remember that you are the ones that will save the world. And we'll be back again next week at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific time on the Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasik on Transformation Talk Radio. Thank you and be well.
You've been listening to Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasik. Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity, and its time of transition to the Golden Age that provided the truth and energies and frequencies. Now, she shares information from and answers questions about the Knowledge Book with you each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit Marge at usa.theknowledgebook.net.